Good afternoon from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Lakes and rivers in northeast South Dakota are above full going into winter, and that has property owners and emergency managers concerned about what next spring could bring in terms of flooding. Cottington County Emergency Manager Jim Sutton says Lake Compesca is about 26 inches above full. Last week, when winds were gusting over 60 miles an hour, waves were up to 4 feet high, crashing into shorelines and structures. Sutton says it's pretty much a given that the lake will be above full going into winter.
I believe that we will. We'll be going into the winter above full because the river is so full. You know, we've got so much water coming down the river. From up north, and when the river's full, the lake can't drain out as fast as if the river was dry.
The concern is what heavy snow this winter will mean come next spring, when the melt begins.
With the lake being over full, a lot of snow, we're going to have runoff. There's really no reserve there to take any of that runoff. So any snow that melts, it's going to be causing the river come up. It's going to cause the lake to come up. With both the lakes, Pelican and Compesca, with the lake level so high, then when the ice goes out, then we have the problem, are we going to see damage to shorelines or to buildings from ice chunks that get pushed up on the shore because the lake level is so high.
South Dakota has applied for 5 presidential disaster declarations already this year. The latest coming this week to cover tornado damage to Sioux Falls and flooding in the Madison and Mitchell areas. Bramble Park Zoo has seen visitation numbers fall off sharply this year. A report on the city website shows year-to-date attendance at the zoo through October 17th at 47,749. During the same period last year, attendance was over 54,000, and in 2017, it was above 58,000. But the losses have not been seen financially. Revenues from admissions, rentals, concessions, and gift shop sales this year are just under $340,000, which is about $11,000 higher than the same period in 2017. It's also been a tough year for camping at City Park Campground in Watertown. Net revenue from camping through early October was just over $79,000, and that's down more than $40,000 compared to 2017. City Park has been plagued by high water issues this year, leaving some campsites on both the north and south sides unusable. Look for an official announcement to be made tomorrow that Lake Area Technical Institute has reached a new partnership agreement with Western Governors University. It will allow LATI students seeking a bachelor's degree to transfer seamlessly into Western Governors online undergraduate programs in fields like business, IT, K-12 education, and health professions such as nursing. LATI students who enroll in Western Governors University will also be eligible to apply for scholarships there. The nonprofit university was established in 1997 and now serves more than 117,000 students nationally. U.S. Attorney Ron Parsons has announced that an Eden, South Dakota man convicted of felony child abuse and neglect of a child was sentenced last week. 39-year-old Jeremiah Renville Jr. was given 2 years in federal prison to be followed by 3 years of supervised release. Renville Jr. engaged in assaultive and abusive conduct toward a child, according to court filings. He was indicted by a federal grand jury last year and pleaded guilty in May. The case was investigated by the FBI and the Sisseton Wahpeton Tribal Police. Renville will surrender to the U.S. Marshals Service in late December to begin serving his federal prison sentence. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced that their interim rule on production and growing of industrial hemp will be published in the Federal Register tomorrow. South Dakota Farmers Union lobbyist Mitch Richter says even though that rule is calling for hemp testing at DEA labs, He doesn't believe it will cover all of Governor Kristi Noem's concerns regarding hemp.
Well, I don't think it's going to alleviate all of her concerns, but I think it's nice that they are going to release the rules. That will give us, you know, take one step forward, and we can get that behind us. Then the interim committee can pass them or agree to the legislation, I guess, going into January. So I think it's a good first step for us.
Richter says although industrial hemp is not as valuable a crop as corn or soybeans, it could still prove to be an economic benefit for growers if it's approved. He says CBD oil is not the only product from it. There's also fiber, seed, and oil. Governor Kristi Noem has issued another round of disaster declarations for a number of counties hit by storms and flooding in late summer and early fall. Many of those counties have run through much of their budget, making multiple rounds of repairs. State Representative Gene Hunhoff of Yankton, a member of the Appropriations Committee, says the need for counties will be one more critical need facing legislators.
I know it's a priority, but let's just add that to what I've already said, our priorities that are out there, what we're hearing about. So it's always a balancing act, and it's always a wait and see, and people get frustrated by that, but that's the process, and that's how it's best, so we know how we're going to spend the dollars of the people of South Dakota.
Yankton County alone has an estimated $20 million plus in damage from spring flooding. A man from Lincoln County, South Dakota, is facing murder and manslaughter charges in the September death of a woman. 59-year-old Dean Torrance is being held in the Minnehaha County Jail on a $250,000 bond. Authorities say he's responsible for the death of 47-year-old Sherry Willie. The cause of her death has not been released. She was found unresponsive south of Lenox on September 19th. A Lincoln County grand jury reviewed investigative findings in the case this week, and Torrance was then charged with second-degree murder domestic, first-degree manslaughter domestic, aggravated assault domestic, and several other charges. A plane crash near Aberdeen that killed the pilot was caused when the plane hit a tree in wind and fog at night. The National Transportation Safety Board's preliminary report says the pilot, 70-year-old Gerald Saliski of Hecla, crashed around 10:30 on the night of October 9th, soon after taking off from Aberdeen Regional Airport. The NTSB says Saliski did not have a pilot's certificate. A hunter found the wreckage about 3 miles from the Aberdeen airport. That flight was bound for Oaks, North Dakota. Remember, you can get news anytime on our homepage. Find us online at gowatertown.net. That's what's happening today. From the KWAT Newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.